Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
I'm amazed how many, every time I come, there's so many new faces, new visitors. It's wonderful. The Bible tells us to forsake not our assembling together, as some would do, especially as you see the day approaching. So, man, you can see the day approaching. Even if you aren't into end times, you know something's up, right? Praise the Lord. You can be ordering a cheeseburger and a Diet Coke and go, by the way, the Lord's coming back. And they'll go, I know He's coming back. Look around. Hallelujah. Wow. I so appreciate your pastors. Don't you love how Pastor... Amen. You bless me. I hear him get up, and he always takes you back to the Word. In other words, doesn't talk about feelings, doesn't talk about emotion, takes you back to, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. And yeah, that's what it's all about. And if Jesus, if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So I love hearing about, I know you got three or four helicopter pads coming in on the roof. You're going to cut holes in, and he's going to swing out like Batman and pray for people and come back. I don't know, it'll be wonderful, but it's just a blessing to be with you and see what all the Lord's been doing. And see so many new people. This is wonderful. I believe we'll all come together at one time, and we'll be sitting out in the parking lot because we've got too many people. Hallelujah. Get your bullhorns ready for to be able to do it, because we're so close to the coming of the Lord. It's just exciting. And how could we have picked a time to live to be at the end of the church age? I mean, where everything is just coming together, where God's about to come to the planet. And what a time that He chose you to be His mouthpiece. Think about it. He chose you to be a voice for Him. It doesn't have to be weird or strange. Just, hey, the Lord's coming back. It doesn't have to be goofy or weird. Just, I remember when the Lord told me He wanted me to preach on end times years ago. I said, I don't want to do that. And He goes, well, it doesn't matter what you want to do, what you're supposed to do. Because I equated it with weird. You know, like people get goofy and get all John the Baptist-y or, you know, strange. But isn't it something how God, people, on your street, people will walk up to you and go, why are you so happy? I'm about to see the King. Come on. Amen. Woo. Amen. Just like if you're getting married, what's up? Why are you so excited? I'm getting married Friday. Can you imagine how weird it'd be if you didn't show up for your wedding? Kind of hard to be at the wedding if you don't know when it is. When's the wedding? I don't know. No, man, we got so many things pointing to how close we are that it changes you, it makes you adamant, it makes you run faster. I've never seen a runner look at the finish line and go, what's that? No, they know exactly what the finish line looks like. And I can feel it. I got a lot of things I want to get into today because so much has happened. Even last week, Israel, well, it's just as crazy. There's three different groups that are getting ready for temple worship. The main one is the Temple Mount Institute. I've been to many times over there, and they have everything ready. We've talked about it, how they have the red heifers now. You know, they have all the instruments they need. They got oil of anointing that they found where the Dead Sea Scrolls are. They have everything that they have to have for sacrifices, which is amazing. But then you got some other groups, the Hasidic Jews, that all of a sudden 2 weeks ago decided we're going to start getting ready for sacrifices as well. And then you had another Jewish group. So you have almost, it'd be like saying this, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, every group is getting together to do this. I'll be on an airplane. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. I'll go, how are you doing? He goes, I'm doing good. I've been talking about the coming of the Lord. I go, what? So Luther, whatever denomination, wherever you're from, it's heaven. We're about to see the Creator. So it's in you to be excited. Hallelujah. Amen. How blessed could we be to be that generation? I think of when my mom got into this in 1970. We went and heard Brother Hagin in Shreveport, Louisiana. And then she started driving to, well, we all went with her to John Osteen's church 7 hours away every Sunday. I said, Mom, have you thought about picking a church a little closer? Hello? I mean, as a kid, you know, 7 hours is like, this is a little bit of a commute, don't you think? But you're hungry for the Word. Hungry for the Word. So I know there's some great things ahead for you. And I saw it a while ago, rather than hear it, a ripple effect of what comes out of here. Just like a wave coming out, just like a, when you see a nuclear explosion, you think, see things blown back, and then the shock wave gets to people later. Later, people, there's hungry hearts all over this whole area, and they're going to start tuning in to what they have to have. And you got a radio signal coming from here about Jesus. Jesus is alive and well. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. Greater is He that's in you than He's in this world. They'll come from all around, and they've been doing it, but there's going to be such an increase, you're going to go, oh my God, what are we going to do with all these people? Hallelujah. The hungry hearts. Remember Jesus told Brother Hagin in one of the times He appeared to him, He said, I will visit hungry hearts. right before the coming of the Lord. So we're privileged. We're blessed. So glad you came. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. We'll see you tonight. Praise the Lord. Start the car, Pastor. I'll be right there. Now, grab your Bibles, and we'll turn to Matthew 24. But I was in France 2 weeks ago speaking in a church in one of the Bible schools there in Nice. And Emmanuel Macron was in town. Oh, it messed up everything because the traffic was all messed up. The roads were all blocked off. So it'd take 2 hours to go somewhere. It'd take you 5 minutes. So it was like, oh, chaos. They were in town for a Earth Summit or whatever. And getting ready for the next week was going to be the UN leaders and the EU leaders meet for a 7-year contract to get Israel to sign it to accept a Palestinian state. Well, that got put off. There's several different 7-year contracts. But when you start seeing that, that's the Bible says that's what Israel's going to do. They're going to have a covenant with death and hell. It's the Antichrist. It's a 7-year agreement, and that's what starts the tribulation, not the rapture of the church. We'll be gone then. That we have to leave so the Antichrist can even come on the scene. But you have the guy a couple weeks ago in France pushing these leaders to do this 7-year agreement. So, my friend, we're close. We're near the coming of the Lord. And you get into all the other stuff that's happening, and we'll try to get into a lot of it today. It may be familiar to a lot of you. Maybe you've heard the signs before a lot. Maybe your first time to ever hear the signs. So if you've heard it before, that's all right. I like what John Osteen said. You can tell when you've gotten a hold of a verse when you want to hear it over and over and over again. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. No, it's life to you. Now, when I was a kid and I heard Brother Hagin preach out of Mark 11, 23 and 24, everywhere we went from 70 to about 74, I thought my mother had lost her mind. Because we went to church every night. And Brother, I'd go, Mom, Brother Hagin's in Pittsburgh, let's go. So my dad was a rank sinner. He'd give my mom money to go to meetings. So we'd go up to Pittsburgh. I'd go, Mom, Brother Hagin's in Phoenix, let's go to Phoenix. You know what? I wasn't that excited about hearing the word, but I'd do anything to get out of school. So with that, I would hear Brother Hagin turn to Mark 11, 23, turn to Mark 11, 24. And it gets in you that you have what you say. You can use your faith for figs, for fruit. You can use your faith for desires. You can use your faith for obstacles. 2/3 of your faith was just to make you smile. Desserts and desires. 1/3 of your faith was to remove a mountain. You don't even need all your faith to move a mountain. Come on. Amen. Am I in the right room? Come on now. So that's what we got out of being around Brother Hagin all the time. Why? Because he put the word back in us. People in the next dispensation, in the millennium, they're going to come up to you and go, whoa, 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 wait, wait, wait. You asked Jesus into your heart when you couldn't see him? Through the foolishness of preaching? He's raised up a group of people that aren't moved by what they feel, not moved by what they see. They're moved by what the word says about them. So God's raised up all these overseers that aren't flighty or fleety. They know God's character through his word, not through feelings. So let's pray, and we'll get into all this, and we'll do it in a short period of time, be like a machine gun preaching. And what did they say? It's like trying to receive from drinking from a fire hose, all right? Ready to go. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for sending Jesus. Father, that we would see him high and lifted up with his train filling the temple. That, Lord, we're in awe that you gave your life. Let yourself be beaten and killed so horrendously. So, Lord, help us walk in the full measure of what you left us 2,000 years ago when you were raised from the dead. Help us demonstrate the resurrection. We thank you for your glory that's in operation in this hour to show forth that the Son is alive and well. Holy Spirit, enjoy yourself magnifying the Son of God in our hearts. May it burn in our souls and in our spirits how wonderful Jesus is. Thank you for doing that, Father. We thank you for it. We give you honor and praise. And Lord, we thank you for these things that are getting ready to happen in this church, Lord. These increases in every area. We thank you for great peace, for great joy, and a gentleness beyond the church, Lord, and a boldness, and a whole mix of Jesus. We thank you for that, and we can't wait to be a part of it and see it. In Jesus' wonderful name, everybody said amen. I mean, that's what the world's looking for, is that mix, and Jesus is the perfect mix. Super bold, but also super sweet. That's what I liked about John Osteen. He'd be really funny and sweet, but he'd also be really stout, and that's what it needs to be. So, now, the more time you spend with Jesus, the softer you'll be. Come on, the more time you spend with Jesus, the easier you are to get along with. Yeah. If you're high maintenance, you ain't hanging out with the Lord. Right. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. Thanks for coming. Wow. No, that's for the Lord wanting to talk to you about that mix he wants right here before he comes. It's okay to be silly and goofy. And you match that silly and goofy with bold to do the will of God. Hallelujah, amen. So we got a lot of stuff happening right now. I mean, Remember in the scriptures, there's several things that the Lord talked about end times, and they were never to be afraid of it. I'll have a lady walk up to me after an end times conference. She'll go, I was lied to my entire life. She's crying. I was afraid of the coming of the Lord because all I heard was, it's scary. Think about this. Why would God go to so much trouble to give us more verses about this so we would see what it would look like so we'd be ready? He said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Don't be downtrodden. Indicating you could just be sad. Well, it's a bad time to be alive. No, he said, lift up your heads. So he doesn't want you downtrodden. Five things about the coming of the Lord he wants you to know. Number one, don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. I want you happy. I want you hopeful. And I want you comforted. That's Matthew 24, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What does God say about the coming of the Lord? Not what religion has said. We were talking in the back room. I have a friend of mine that he said, well, you can't tell when the Lord's coming back. I said, whoa. You've never opened your Bible ever, and you're going to tell me that you can tell when the Lord's coming back and you can't tell when the Lord's coming back? You don't qualify to even say anything, Doc. I think I'll do Elvis on that one, man. That was good. No. Once you get into the thing, the whole thing is, for every one verse there is about the first coming, eight times more about the second coming. Paul talked about the baptism 12 times, coming of the Lord 52 times. So it's the theme of the book. Peter talked about it. Jude talked about it. Come on, the angels talked about it. He's coming back. Peter talked about it. Think about Enoch. What a great type for us. His walk was a walk of faith, but yet he was a friend of God, and he spoke for God. Isn't it amazing that he prophesied in a day of spiritual decline? Don't you love his message the Lord gave him? He's coming back with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. Wow, that's nice. He's coming back. He's never been here. How would you like to have a message that he's coming back and never been here yet? We think we have a tough time with the group we have. Think of Enoch. Well, it got so polluted that he was caught up. He was raptured, and he handed it off to Noah. Well, Jesus was caught up. He handed off to the church. The church is going to be caught up, and we're going to hand off to the Jews. God's going to raise up 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And the Bible says the harvest they have is 50% of the earth. And where I was in France, guess how many people are saved there? 1%. So the Bible says at the end of the tribulation, I mean, the tribulation is horrible, but at least it puts pressure on people to make a decision to accept Jesus. And it's just like hell on earth, but at least it's better than going to hell forever. I mean, I've talked about it before in high school. I tell you this, when I was dating girls in high school, every date I'd be on, I'd pull over with the car, I'd get out fireworks out of the back of the car, and I'd shoot fireworks off. So I'd say, you can't say you didn't go out with me and didn't see fireworks. That's pretty pathetic. But that's what's getting ready to happen for the earth, 7 years of fireworks, so people won't be able to go, well, I wasn't aware of that. It's just going to be all over the place. It's going to be like, I mean, the water turns to blood. Hello. I mean, you're out fishing, going, not catching much. Well, hello, the water turned to blood. You won't be able to go, I never saw that. No, it's going to be everywhere. So we're living in a day of very, very, very visually stimulating because Jesus is about to come back. And that's what the whole seven-year tribulation is about, is getting people's attention. So here, let's go to Matthew 24, and the Lord's going to show us what it looks like right before he comes, and then we're going to get into the signs. And we won't go all day, but we'll go part of the day. How's that? I got three amens and a couple of grunts. Look at Matthew 24, look at verse 1. You know this so well, but it's good to go over it again. Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, hey, tell us, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Now, that's a bad translation because the actual translation is the end of the age. The world's never coming to an end. It's going to be renovated by fire, but it's never going to come to an end. So then he says that, and then he goes in verse 4, I can't believe you guys asked me this. You can never know what the Lord's going to do. No. He just said, take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I'm Christ. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now watch this. He's going to give us some things to look at. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. These will be famines, there'll be pestilence, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Now he's talking to them about what it's going to look like, and he's talking to Jewish boys. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the second coming. Because the rapture has no signs, but the second coming has sign after sign after sign after sign. This last year, doing interviews, I go, you're fact-checking me right now. And they go, oh, yeah. I said, I'm not smart enough to come up with this stuff. You think I made this stuff up? Come on. So the Lord's telling them what it's going to look like, nation rising against nation. It doesn't look good. It looks like a horrible time. He hadn't even got to the tribulation yet. Look at verse 9. Mark it off there. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. We don't use that word. It's the word birth pains. Jesus said there'd be a time on the earth right before he comes back that would be so severe that you can't ignore it. How many of you ladies, when you went into labor, did you go, I don't think I'm going to do this this week? No. When the contractions started coming, you got to the hospital, right? It started preaching to you, didn't it? In other words, you didn't go, well, I think I'll sign up when I want to go. No, we're getting to the hospital. He said it'd be the same way. So you will have birth pains, things that are so blatant, you can't ignore them, pressure. But you know what? He's, what's so cool about this is he's wanting you to see this. How many of you ladies, after you had your baby, did you go, those were the best contractions I've ever had? No, you don't talk about the contractions. You talk about the contractions. You talk about the baby. You're excited about the baby. Here he's talking about there's a kingdom coming, and there'll be some pressure on the earth. So don't be freaked out about the pressure. Be blessed that we're getting to see the greatest change ever. The king's about to come back. So he's just showing them what it'll look like. So in our minds and hearts, we don't have to be freaked out. Peter showed us a little bit. He said there'd be people that'd be scoffing. I hear this every day. Where's the promise of it coming? Oh, I've been hearing that all my life. People tell me, well, we've been hearing that our whole lives. Well, you know why? Because he's coming back. No generation's ever had the signs that we've had. Because someone will come up to me on an airplane. Well, no, we've had all those signs before. No, never. Never. I'll come preach to you. Thank you, brother. Amen. So, and you know, you want to match people's boldness with more boldness. Go. So, it's amazing because people will tell you that. Why? Because they don't want to be in position. Could you imagine running every day? I talked about my daughter Lauren. She did these cross country runs. I can't run with her. She could run 4 miles and not even be tired. So I trained with her on my motorcycle. I was right there with her. Seriously, we'd go 4 miles, you know, 5 miles. We'd get back. She's not even sweating. And I'm sweating from riding the bike. Well, I'd go to the cross-country events, you know, and I'd get to the first mile marker. She'd come running up. How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy? I go, Lauren, you got 3 miles. Pace yourself. I'd cut across the field, get to the next mile marker. She'd come running up. How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy? I go, Lauren, you got 2 miles. Pace yourself. If we came to the last mile marker, I'd cut through the field. She saw that marker. She wouldn't even ask me anything. She wouldn't say, how far, Daddy? She saw the finish line. Her countenance changed. All that training was for right there, not to go, well, I'm not really certain it's the last days. No, she knew exactly what it was, the finish line. And I'm screaming, run, Lauren, run. Forrest, run. Well, it's obvious to her. It wasn't obvious before because she wasn't at the end. It wasn't obvious before because she wasn't at the end. When she got to the end, it was obvious. So what's the church going to do? You're going to be louder than you've ever been. Wilder than you've ever been. People should tell you to break that pill in half. Whatever you're on, take it down a notch. Could you imagine Colleen and I? Colleen says, tell you she loves you. She hasn't been here in a while. Wouldn't it be weird if Colleen and I are getting married? And I've showed you this before, but you know, I'm standing up there all excited. She's going to come down the middle aisle. She comes walking down the aisle and her dress has got mud all over it. She's been playing in the dirt. Weird. And she's walking down to me and she's all bent over like this. Oh my God, I'm going to marry that guy. Another one bites the dust. Now, I'd be kind of standing there going, well, this is not really what I was thinking it'd be like on that day. I thought it'd be a little more joy. How many of you were excited the night before you got married? Come on, you didn't come to the day before your wedding and go, oh, yeah, whatever. No, it was the busiest day of your life the day before you got married. Come on, and it was the most exciting time of your life. So put that in the church. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. All right. Go to the book of Luke. There's a lot of places we could go, but I want to kind of speed up a little bit because I won't keep you too long. Have I preached too long here ever? Okay, go to Luke 21. And you know these verses as well, but I'm trying to get somewhere, but we will eventually here in just a little bit. Luke 21. So we see him talking in Matthew 24 about the tribulation period, about just before the second coming. Watch Jesus in Luke 21 give us a couple things to look at that makes it super easy to get. Because he doesn't want us to not get it, he wants us to get it. Luke 21, verse 24. They'll fall by the edge of the sword, and they'll be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles or nations until the times of the nations are fulfilled. So, okay, he said when basically Israel gets Jerusalem back, time's up. When did that happen? 1967. Six-day war. What an amazing thing that Israel got Jerusalem back. I mean, they were crying. They were like freaking out, going crazy because they wanted Jerusalem. And you watch this next year, all the pressure will be on Israel to give up the territory from the Six-Day War, okay, and Jerusalem. Excuse me. So watch. Watch it all play out because here Jesus said, when you see them get Jerusalem back, time's up. That's pretty radical. He could have said, when you see Earl in the middle of Iowa, when Earl gets saved, you'll know I'm about to come back. No, he didn't say that. How do we not know? We don't know Earl, but he had a city get won back. So it would be obvious to us. What happened? You've heard the stories. Man, I tell my favorite one, but there's about seven or eight that are so cool. My favorite one, those the Egyptian army, 88 tanks coming down on Israel in that Six-Day War. An Israeli cook climbs into a tank. He doesn't know how to fire shells, figures out how to load the turret up, figures out how to fire shells at the Egyptian tanks, and he starts firing shells at the Egyptian tanks. One cook against 88 tanks. The next thing you know, the Egyptian commander raised a white flag, said, I'm here to surrender to the highest ranking officer. And that cook said, highest ranking officer, it's just me. He said, oh no, it's not just you. The whole night, the countryside was filled with tanks, with men dressed in white. You've been shelling us all night. We can't take it anymore. So what a miracle. I've watched, you can pull up that guy on YouTube. He said, we don't even understand this. They almost don't even believe in the miracle that happened, but it still happened. And there's many, many, many more. Why? Time's up, time's up. Pretty radical. We'll come back to that in a minute because it's really cool. Why would that be a big deal? Think of, oh man, there's so much stuff to get into, but think of 1917. Is that a big number for anybody? World War I. What happened? Allenby, Australian general. He flies in. They passed out leaflets before he flew in. Allenby's coming. Allenby's coming. They didn't even know that in Arabic, his name meant a prophet sent from God to deliver you your land. Well, they dropped their weapons and said, we're not going to fight against God. Israel got their land promised to them right there. It's called the Balfour Declaration. Written by England, Balfour, Lord Balfour. Okay, there's their land right there in 1917. All right, what happens 50 years later? Exactly one jubilee, Jerusalem's won back. What else happened in 1917? Kenneth Hagin was born. The Lord appeared to his mother, told her to name him John. She goes, I don't like the name John, I like Kenneth. Don't you love that? And the Lord tells his mother that he would have a part in getting the earth ready for the second coming. Not everything, but a part. Guess what Hagin means in the Hebrew? You ready for this? One to go before to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. That's pretty radical. Should I just go to sleep right now? So that'd be a good thing. Think about that. One, to go before, to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. The definition of John the Baptist. There's an evangelistic lady that has a ministry in Tulsa. She travels out of Mark Brzee's church, and she died a few years ago, and they defibrillated her and got her back. And she was up in heaven talking to Jesus, and she saw Brother Hagin and said, look, there's Kenneth Hagin. Jesus said, you mean John? So if your name's supposed to be John, it's supposed to be John. I mean, and you had... Right here before the coming of the Lord, you had Mark Brzee starting all those Bible schools over in Europe, and all of that got turned over to Rhema. It was kind of a foretaste. They used to pray out, John's legs to the east. Went to all those prayer meetings, John's legs to the east. Guess what the names of the overseers were for all those Bible schools when they started? John and Michelle Grunewald, guess what nation they went to? Germany. Tony and Patsy Caminetti, guess what nation they went to? Italy. Tim and Vicki Kilstrom, guess what nation they went to? Sweden. Chuck and Sheila Banks, guess where they went to? England. Every one of their last names were indicative of the nation they went to. Because Jesus is just about to come back. Woo, glory to God. Are you excited? Man, we're going to get to see him. Here, let's go a little further. Here we go. Verse 29. Look at the fig tree, and the nation of Israel would be your timepiece. Okay, in the Old Testament, Methuselah was the timepiece. Remember Methuselah? His name was, hey, when I die, you're all going to die. How'd you like to have a name like that? Nice to meet you. When I'm toast, you're toast. Well, I would have been feeding Methuselah. I go, hey, you got groceries? You doing all right? I mean, Methuselah gets a flu or whatever, and you think it's over. He was the longest living man ever. God held off judgment as long as he could. And the year that Methuselah died, the flood came. So just as Methuselah was a timepiece for them to look at, watch this. Jesus said, Israel will be your timepiece in verse 29. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their bud, I love this. When they now shoot forth a bud, you see and know of your own selves that summer or harvest is nigh at hand. So he said it would be obvious. You know, I live on 10 acres, and I mow my 10 acres down like this. I want to look like a golf course. So what I do for a living is I preach and mow, preach and mow, preach and mow, preach and mow. I have a group of guys that come in the summers when I can't get to all of it. But this year is the first year since I've lived on that land that while I was mowing, I watched the trees turn green. Usually I miss it. I'm out of town. Last year I was in 64 churches out of 52 weeks. So usually I'm gone, and it turns when I come back. I go, wow, the trees turn. I'm out there mowing. I watched the trees turn right in front of my eyes. It freaked me out. I didn't go, what meaneth this? What am I going to do? No, it told me there's a temperature change coming. It told me that life, springtime, it represents life. I thought, man, that's so cool. Jesus said, the same way you can tell when the trees turn, it's just as obvious to you, just as bold as you are about that, be just as bold about the coming of the Lord. Because you wouldn't go, well, I don't know, this year it might mean this, it might mean that. No, you don't say that. When the trees bud, you know summer's coming. There's no second explanation. But boy, there's 1,000 explanations for the coming of the Lord. Well, we can't be that bold about it. I always say this, they say, well, you can't tell when the Lord's coming back. Actually, you can if you can read. That went over good. Good night, everybody, too. Here we go. Okay, verse 31. Likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know. Circle the word know there. Likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know. Not wonder, not sense, know. Watch this. That the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. He said you could tell when it's close. You said you can know it, not wonder it, not sense it, not perceive it. You can know when it's close. Now get ready. Get ready for this. He's going to open up a whole other can of worms right here. It's one thing to know that it's near. Look at the next verse. Verily I say unto you, this generation. He goes from telling you you can know when it's near to the generation that sees two things happen. Israel regathered and Jerusalem won back. See that tag, you're it. If you're alive during that time, that's when he's coming back. I hear people go, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. People say, I'm not comfortable with that. It don't matter. So that's pretty radical. Two signs. Israel brought back, Jerusalem won back. But there's about 80 some odd more, but we'll go through about 10 or 15 of them before we close. And I'll sing something off my greatest hits album. No, you know, you have to temper what you're doing with a little bit of fun because it could be pretty intense. Because people, while I'm preaching, they're confronting me with unbelief. And I got just as much belief to confront them with. Not only will I confront them, I'll mow right over them. Amen. I'm serious. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he's in this world. And that's not my thought pattern. It's God's. That's him wanting you to get it. You know, they're saying that it's not the preacher going, well, I wish this a little better. No, he's intent on, the message is going out so much now, right? It's amazing. God's wanting to get everybody. He loves you. Today, he wants you to get all the signs. He's not mad at you. He's not frustrated with you. He loves you. He loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. He's not frustrated with you, not mad at you. He loves you. You can do no wrong in his eyes. Amen. And just like your kids, you want them to grow up and not do stupid things, but in your eyes, your kids are your kids, man. They're it. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a good night. See you tomorrow. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back to this. This is pretty radical. He said in verse 33, heaven and earth will be altered, but my words won't be altered. In other words, when you see Israel brought back, you see Jerusalem back. Bingo, that's the group. But let's run through some of them. These are absolutely amazing. What's the next sign? Next sign would be the Hebrew language restored. The Bible says just before the Messiah comes, he'll restore to them a pure language. 120 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew. Now, everybody speaks Hebrew, the whole nation. God resurrected that language just for them. Why? Because he said he would do it just before the Messiah comes. It's a miracle. Look at it, Google it. It's never, ever happened in history, ever. You can go there, they're not speaking Hittite, not speaking Canaanite, speaking Amorite, they're speaking Hebrew. Because God said, I'll bring that language back. The next one would be the Ethiopian Jews. Israel sent C-130s down into Ethiopia, airlifted 18,000 in one day. Chuck Roberts on CNN Headline News said, an exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. Come on, when CNN goes to preaching about what the Lord's doing, you better lift up your head. Jesus is about to come back. On the manifest on the passenger list was 180 people on one plane, and they landed at 187, had seven babies born on that one plane. Just like the Exodus in Egypt, it was just like that. There's so much more you could talk about that. It's remarkable, all the miracles that happened with all that. It's just so much detail, it's crazy. All right, the Bible says the EU would come about. That you now have the United States of Europe. You can last wherever I was, flew from somewhere into France. The time before that, I was in Holland, flew down. It's just like the United States of America. So that's a platform for the Antichrist. You can go to the Capitol building in Strasbourg, France. And the Capitol building is torn up at the top, just like the Tower of Babel. I mean, it's fragmented at the top because they said, we'll be our own gods. We won't need a God. That's pretty radical. You had Russia rebuild the archway for Baal worship in Palmyra, Syria. That's where the Tower of Babel was. So Russia's rebuilt that archway so they can have that kind of worship. The Talmud says that's the last sign you'll see before the Messiah comes. Wow. You got fish showing up in the Dead Sea. Ezekiel prophesied that 2,700 years ago. When did that come to pass? 2 years ago. Last year, you had the Dead Sea turn blood red where Sodom and Gomorrah was. On the Day of Atonement. That's pretty radical. You got foxes on the Temple Mount. Fish in the Dead Sea. You got Russia get on the border of Crimea. What did they do? Everybody said, well, they won't invade. They invaded. They got all these troops up there on the border of Ukraine. They won't go into Ukraine. They invaded. Russia. There was last week, there was an article in the Jerusalem Post, China and Russia preparing for the last days, an alignment for World War III. That's what the Bible says will happen at the Battle of Armageddon. Where are they going to go? They're going to go over the Euphrates River. Guess what? The Euphrates River is running dry right now. So the kings of the east can come over. Absolutely amazing. All right, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were, they found one of the worms they need for secretion for the cow. And the ointment that comes out, the ink that comes out is red. And 3 days later, it turns white. Though your sins be scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Wow. I mean, God's just got all that stuff waiting to happen. If you go into the old city and you see the Temple Mount Institute, they're ready for all this to happen. You don't have to kind of get them excited about the Messiah coming, man. They're excited. So all these signs, they're pretty cool. My favorite one, though, is, and I know you've heard it before, it's the predatory birds. I was watching the Animal Planet channel years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, and this ornithologist said it's the largest gathering of predatory birds ever in history. 172 different species of predatory birds. She goes, man, we just don't know what that's about. I know what it's about. Right after the rapture, the Ezekiel 38 war happens. God calls on the fowl of the air to clean the land up. And then at the Battle of Armageddon, he calls on the fowl of the air to clean the land up again. So you got the cleanup crew in Israel right now. So if you got birds in position, fish in position, foxes in position, Russia in position, China in position, what's the church doing? Come on, man. If those other groups can get in a position, how much more the church? Because we're hearing from heaven. What is the position that we have? Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Let's get as many people in here as we can. Let's put chairs up against the walls. Let's whatever we got to do, man. Pack them in. Hallelujah. I mean, as I stand here, I was here last year and I was here the year before. There's probably half of you that I don't know, but a lot of you I do know. It's just wonderful and healthy that the church has all kinds of new people coming in. And that's what you get to do is bring them to Jesus. Amen. Wow. So there's sign after sign after sign. I'm going to kind of edit a little bit as we go. It's wonderful that God said all this stuff so it would show how authentic the Bible is. He said, I'm letting you see this so that you can see that I'm God. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? He said, I'll show you the end from the beginning. Yes. Wow. Aren't we blessed? Yes, we that this book's the only book that gives you future. You can talk to a Muslim. You can talk to a Buddhist. Their book doesn't give you future. I was preaching in Bangkok one time. This ex-Buddhist priest from walking up to me. He's a little guy like this. We were preaching on basic faith. This is 1994, 95. And that old Buddhist minister would get out there and dance in the hall in the highway like that. And I walked up to him afterwards. He's probably about 85 and just had the energy and the joy of a teenager. He said, you know, I'm excited about all this because I died years ago and they defibrillated me and got me back alive. He said, I went to hell. He said, guess who the first person I saw in hell was? Buddha. He didn't see Jesus there because he didn't stay. He came to hell, but he was raised from the dead out of hell. Come on. Amen. So this book's the only book that gives you future. So this is what's coming. I mean, there's so many signs, and I'll give you a couple signals. I mean, they're just dramatic. They're so in your face, you know. It's like, oh, dear God. One was men will be lovers themselves. We have selfie sticks. I mean, let's take a few more pictures of ourselves. Praise the Lord. That's pretty radical. But what's coming is we'll be caught up. You have a 7-year period on the earth called the tribulation. While that's happening, we'll be at the reward seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then maybe we go to horse flying school for about an hour or two. I don't know. And we'll get on white horses, the Bible says. And we'll come back at the second coming. And the Bible says there's stations of the second coming. He'll go to Petra, Edom. Remember Isaiah said, who is this that comes from Edom with garments stained from Bozrah? Radiant in apparel, glorious in strength. Now watch this. Watch how cool God is. We'll go to Petra, then we'll go to the Mount of Olives, and then we'll go to the Battle of Armageddon. And if you're on the earth looking up, you're seeing the letter J, Yeshua. That he'll even have the stations he goes to will preach to you at the second coming. And the Bible says that he obliterates Lucifer with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah. Amen. You think about it. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Think about the Bible says there's no need for the sun. It didn't say there isn't a sun. There's no need for it because of the glory that's in his face. And that's going to be coming right down the earth. The Bible says it's a day not known to man, neither night nor day. And you talk about the king coming back. You talk about protocol. You talk about pomp and circumstance. We're going to get to go to the private ceremony where he's the coronation of the king when we're up there that 7 years. And then we're going to come back to the public ceremony. You're going to be the ones helping him get everything ready. As we come back like that, the earth, the whole earth, creation is going to bow in adoration. You'll see trees bend over like this. And this is God himself. And you have this treasure in earthen vessels. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's talk a little bit about the planets for just a minute, because there's a lot of stuff that's happened the last couple of weeks that on my EDU, I don't even have time to talk about it. But it's just, it's amazing. So we remember a few years ago we had blood red moons, remember, on Passover and Tabernacles. That's a pretty cool deal that basically the heavens were declaring the glory of God. The Bible said the planets would be for signals for us. So the heavens said, I died for you, I'm coming back. I died for you, I'm coming back. How sweet of the Lord to be like, hello, the bridge is out. That'd be his kind of way. Now, I don't need signs, and I don't need that. I have a witness in my spirit. But the Lord's so sweet, he wants us to not miss it. Okay, so that's a tetrad. That happened 4 times in a row. When's the last time that happened 4 times in a row on Passover and Tabernacles? When? 1967. 1948, when Israel's made a nation. 1492, when the Jews were kicked out of Spain for the Edict of Expulsion. And God raised up Columbus to sail the ocean blue in 1492. So the heavens are decreeing this just so that God can get our attention. Then what do you have this next one? The next one was the Bethlehem Star. I mean, think about how radical that was. At Jesus' birth, these guys went by donkey from Iraq and Iran all the way over to Bethlehem. If I was on a motorcycle ride with my buddies, they'd go, this star better be over the top. This better be the most amazing star we've ever seen. Well, what was that star that was so cool? You had Jupiter, Regulus, and Venus come together. What was the constellation? Virgo. This last year, you had Jupiter, Regulus, and Venus come together. What was the constellation? Leo. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. So at the birth of Jesus, 3 stars came together for there to be one main star. Regulus did retrograde motion and put a crown on Jupiter. Crowned Jupiter, because a king was born. The Lord's trying to make it as obvious as he can that he's about to come back to the planet. But aren't you glad that when you come in on a Sunday morning, you hear the word, you hear what the direction of your church here is to have word, 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 do the will of God. Notice the mix here is not just to hear, but to hear and do. The doers of the word are blessed in their deeds. Come on. You know, what's that evangelist? That one guy's name. I can't remember his name. He was in a car wreck. Came back alive after, I don't know how many days it was, in the morgue. Could you imagine? And he asked the Lord. He said, where will I feel it first? And Jesus said, nobody's ever even asked me. He said he started feeling pain come into his toes, into his feet. But he was up in heaven. And all of a sudden he said, oh, wow, the sun came up. He said, I never even thought about a sunrise in heaven. And it was Jesus walking up over the hill. The only thing you could equate it to is a sunrise. So how cool is that? So we got signs, we got signals. We have all this coming to pass because we're just about to have the biggest change we'll ever have. And I don't know why people freak out about the rapture. That word rapture freaks people out. They say, well, that word's not in the Bible. It's the word harpazo. It means to be taken. Really, this is the word I like in the other Bible. What's it called? What's the translation? You know what it is. Anyway, it's rapture. In the Latin Bible, it's the word rapture. But really, there's a word I've come up with that it makes me feel more comfortable is, it's an evacuation. You know, when you have a hurricane coming, you evacuate people. And you don't go, oh, this is the word rapture, this is the word harpazo. No, it's the word, we're going to be evac'd out. So we're going to be taken out of the earth because God's getting ready to hand off to the Jews and let them work for 7 years. So this change is coming. You, just as you've borne the image of the earthy, you're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Come on, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all of a sudden, he's able to subdue even all things unto himself, and you're going to get a brand new body just like that. Glory to God. Never gain weight again, never get tired again. How cool is that going to be? And let me just tell you, the rapture is not an ending, it's a beginning. All these people are like, I don't want the Lord to come back because I got so much in my heart. It's because you're going to live forever.
Come on.
We're tasting of the powers of the world to come. Can you imagine enjoying the power of the powers of the world to come? I'll give you just a verse to here, and then I got to close. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, remember they were walking on the road to Emmaus? Remember, I love this because he kept them from knowing who he was. Their eyes were beholden to the fact of who he was. And the first thing Jesus said to him, why are you guys so sad? He goes, well, if you lived around here, they crucified our Lord. I'm trying to tell the Lord this. They constrained him to stay for dinner. And what'd he do? He took them through the Word. Sitting there personally, he took them through the Word. Showed them Christ in the Old Testament. Led all the way up to the New Testament. It's better to get it through the Word than even physically. Wow. Well, all of a sudden he broke bread and he disappeared. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us the words that he spoke to us? Wow. His words are spirit in their life. Well, they went back to their buddies. We saw him. We ate with him. How cool is that? And Thomas goes, I don't believe that. He goes, I won't believe till I see the hole in his side, see the hole in his hands. I will not believe. Boom. Jesus walks right through the wall. Thomas, reach hither your hand, thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. He said, my Lord and my God. And then he said, well, you're a spirit. He goes, no, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, you see, I have. So he's showing you how your glorified body is going to be. You can still walk through walls. You can still be handled. How cool is that? You have substance. And then the first thing he said was, do you have any meat? He didn't say, do you have any kale? He said, do you have any meat? Didn't ask for broccoli. Didn't ask for shrubbery. My wife put shrubbery on my plate. She'll go, hey, you're going to love this. It's so good for you. This is a shrub that we put outside in the front of the house. Since when did all of a sudden we start eating plants like that? Come on. So Jesus is trying to show them he's normal. I walk through walls, but you can still handle me, and I have an appetite. We have that tendency. Here we go. Getting ready for the millennium. Here we're going to play harps. No. You have wonderful things ahead. There'll be so much cool stuff going on during the millennium. There's going to be motorcycles. There's going to be roller coasters. There's going to be business. It's just the devil will be bound. There'll be football teams that when they win the trophy, they'll present it to Jesus. It won't be for them to have. It'll be for the King. And you can't even get into all the stuff that's so cool. The Bible says, what will prayer be like during the millennium? I'll answer you before you call. So before you can even ask, the answer comes. Our dad and our elder brother is about to have an awesome setup for you. We're going to be caught up. You talk about that reunion with our family members we hadn't seen, then all of a sudden we come back with him to set up his kingdom. And of his kingdom, there'll be no end. Hallelujah. Amen. Gabriel told Daniel, the Ancient of Days will prevail. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that all these things are happening right now in our generation. We're in awe that we get to live during this time. So Jesus. You be magnified in all of our lives. I thank you for blessing everyone that came today, Lord, the destiny you have for their life. I thank you they hearken unto the voice of the Lord, the stranger's voice they do not follow. I thank you they delight themselves in you and you give them the desires of their heart. I thank you that they trust in you with all their heart. They lean not to their own understandings. In all their ways they acknowledge you and you direct their path. In their pathway there is light and there is no darkness at all. So I thank you for illumination for their paths, Lord, the decisions they'll make to intensify the will of God for their lives. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Real quick before we go, I want to make sure don't miss anybody. Maybe you came today and you came to hear Pastor Chris. Please.